Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. It's Saturday morning, a beautiful Saturday morning. Welcome to the program Christ Today with your host, Curtis Smith. And in the studio, we have Pat Roy. Good morning, Pat.
Hello, Curtis. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Great. Hey, thanks for having me here this morning.
Well, listeners, as you know, this week we're here to encourage you, inform you, and bring the good news, not the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ. And our guest today is going to talk about creation. Been wanting to do a show about creation for a while, and he happens to know a little bit about creation. So, actually, he knows a lot about creation. So he's going to talk about creation and Christianity. And go ahead, Pat, tell us a little bit about yourself and then bring us into the talk that we were talking about with creation.
Well, Curtis, I grew up here in Northern California, and radio was always kind of a hobby of mine. And then I always thought that my career, my passion was going to be radio. But I ended up living in San Diego for most of my adult life, and while I was down in San Diego, the Institute for Creation Research asked me to come and be their director of broadcast media. And Curtis, I learned that my real passion was not radio, but my real passion was creation. And I got a chance to work there at the Institute for Creation Research for about 12 years. And that's when I really got passionate about creation, because Curtis, I had the best job in the creation movement. My job was to interview people day in and day out about what scientific evidence there was for creation. So I got to talk to hundreds and hundreds of scientists, and that's when I really fell in love with the whole topic of creation.
So you got to learn a lot from a lot of smart people about creation.
I did. It was fun. I got to interview geologists, biologists. I got to work with Dr. Henry Morris. I got to work with Dr. John Morris, Dr. Dwayne Gish, all of these men.
I've heard of these guys.
They're all better-known people in creation. It was just kind of fun just to talk with them.
You, for a while, were doing like skits and stuff on the air. What got your interest in that? Was it just the fact that you learned a lot and you just wanted other people to know? Or what really got you into doing what you were doing for a while via the airwaves? Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, well, again, being the director of broadcast media, we produced all kinds of syndicated broadcasts for the Institute for Creation Research. My wife worked there with me at ICR. We began to go out, speak sometimes on creation. And after I was done speaking, people would come up to me and they'd say, "Hey, Pat, this is great stuff for adults, but what do you have for kids?" So my wife and I began praying about what we could do to reach kids. And since we both had a radio background, we both listened to Adventures in Odyssey. We said, "Hey, wouldn't it be great if we started a broadcast a lot like Adventures in Odyssey, but make it creation-based?" Mm-hmm. And we started a program called Jonathan Park. Jonathan Park has been going for 15 years this month.
And what all has come out of that program?
You know, Curtis, that has been an incredibly fun adventure. For 15 years, we've gotten testimonies from people all around the world talking about how their lives have been changed by the evidence for creation. So just been an exciting journey for us.
Give us some testimonies if you can. You've got plenty of time to talk. So give us some testimonies regarding what you heard about how the show touched or impacted people's lives.
Yeah, well, okay. Some of the testimonies we've heard. I know once I heard a testimony about a Marine who was unsaved, and he ended up hearing the broadcast and being so interested that he actually ended up buying the CDs and listening to the CDs. And eventually he began to realize that the evidence was true, that there really was a creator. And he gave his life to Christ, and he ended up writing into us. I've heard from a lot of kids that have been able to debate evolutionists. Maybe it's a family member, and they've been able to talk to them about creation versus evolution. We've actually heard from kids that have actually done a little bit of debating with their professors. And so it's just a lot of fun. You know, one time I was at a national radio conference, and I was sitting there, and this guy just kept looking at me.
Like I am now?
Yeah. That same look, Curtis. It's amazing. He kept looking at me, and finally I said, What's going on? And the guy said, "Can I come sit at your table for a second?" And so he came and sat down next to me. Turned out he was a missionary to Haiti. Mm. And he was working at a radio station there, and he was telling me the story about how, you know, they don't have all of the media and all the things that we have in some places. And so they, I guess, were broadcasting Jonathan Park on the air. And he said that when we would leave it in a cliffhanger, you could go down to the marketplace of his city, and people would be talking in the marketplace about the broadcast. And to me, that was just
kind of exciting. I think about that. I think how radio is such a special medium because it goes out to so many different places and so many different countries. So that's what's exciting about it, is I just think that God can use radio in a very, very exciting way.
He can and he does, and unfortunately a lot of people aren't doing radio anymore. Well, there's still a lot of people listening to it, but I think a lot of secular music or secular stations, born of Christian stations, and that's why I do this show, is to be a little entertaining, a little informative, a little encouraging to the believers out there, letting them know that Christ is the answer for today, and that there are people out there that need to hear this. There are people out there that need to hear that he loves him, and he created him for a purpose and a reason. And that's why I invited you on the show today, Pat. And you've been through a lot yourself. You've experienced a lot. You've had a lot of different challenges and stuff that you faced. So maybe throughout the show we can talk about that. So through doing the creation program, what did it leave you, and how did it inspire you to doing what you're doing now?
Well, Curtis, I've got to say that I think creation is probably one of the most powerful Christian apologetics that I've ever seen. And here's what I mean by that. Is a lot of Christians, I believe, live their life like their faith is just another religion. You've got your different religions out there. You've got Buddhism. You've got all these different religions. And basically, Christians live that same way. Matter of fact, if you ask a Christian, why do you believe what you believe? A lot of them can't give a reason for why they believe what they believe. And so we all act like Christianity is just another religion. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, it's really not another religion. It's actually truth. And so here's what I found, is when you start giving people the evidence for their faith, and you start talking about the archaeological evidence, you start talking about the evidence against the Big Bang, you start giving them evidence for creation, all of a sudden a Christian begins to realize that this is just really true. It's not just another religion, but it's really true that God told us what he did in Genesis, and it's true. And all of a sudden you see Christians going from being wimpy Christians to sold out Christians. And that's why I've been excited about the creation message.
So how many people do you believe you've shared that with, and how many people have walked away having their lives changed because of what you've been able to share with them about creationism?
Well, first of all, Curtis, I want to make it clear that it's not me, right?
No, it's not you, but God has used you.
It's not me at all.
No, but God has used you in doing this, so.
Right, well, it's exciting. The broadcasts have gone out to millions of people all around the world, and we've heard testimonies from quite a few different countries all around the world. So, but again, it's all God, it's not us. Trust me, I completely understand that. I realize that God is so powerful that he chooses when and how to move, regardless of men.
How many people do you believe he's touched through your ministry?
I have no idea, Curtis. I really don't know.
But you've seen a lot of different people's lives changed, right?
Absolutely. And again, I think it's just when Christians begin to realize that they can trust God's word. And that's really, for me, what the whole creation ministry is about. It's just reminding people that you can trust God's word. It's true. He told us how he did things, and we just have to believe it. And so, when we do believe it, the scientific evidence is in harmony with
it. Why don't we dive a little bit into creationism?
Okay, sounds good.
So where do you want to start?
Where do I want to start? Well, I guess we can start with something that you touched on for just a second, is the purpose behind creation. Think about this. What's the difference between the two worldviews? One worldview says that you came about by random chance accidents. There is no God. There are no rules. Basically, man can do anything he wants and live any way he wants to. Mm-hmm. So one worldview is that there is no purpose, there is no reason for being in life, right? That's really, when you get back to it, that's the very foundation of evolution, is that there is no meaning or purpose. Mm-hmm. Well, compare that now with the idea that there is a God who loves you and created you with purpose. Mm-hmm. The difference between those two worldviews is radical. There's a huge gulf that lays between those two worldviews.
Huge.
Exactly. So I guess that's what I love to think about all the time, is when we try and reach young people, a lot of our young people, they go all the way through school hearing that there is no God, that there is no purpose,
that's
there is
so
no
true,
plan
they
for
do.
Their life. And then they start acting just like what we're teaching them, right? But now compare that to a Christian, where you raise a kid and you teach him that he has ultimate purpose, that God made him specifically, that God gave him the talents that he has, and that his purpose is to serve God and glorify him.
And that's what people need to understand, is that they do have a purpose, and without understanding creationism, they're never going to understand their purpose.
That's exactly true.
So, continue talking.
Okay, great. So, listen, as we read Genesis, I think a lot of people look at Genesis and they say, well, you know, maybe this is poetry. or maybe God was symbolically trying to tell us how he created. But I always like to say this. God is the most incredible communicator of all times. Mm-hmm. He's the one who formed our brains. He's the one who taught us how to communicate. If God can't communicate clearly what he did, in my opinion, that's a real problem. If we start saying God wasn't able to clearly communicate, but he did clearly communicate. When we read Genesis, it gives the specifics of what creation week was like and what he did on each day and how he created.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I think we can just read that and trust what God says.
That's where it comes. A lot of people think it's hard to trust, you know, especially in someone that they can't see. But if they will begin to trust and begin to believe, even though they can't see, I believe that the seeing would become a lot more clear, don't you?
Exactly. And so again, I think it comes down to God calls us to believe in faith, right? Because it says that we believe in faith. But once we accept and believe in faith and we go out and investigate the world, we find out that everything lines up with the scriptures, right? What's neat, Curtis, is I think about this all the time, is, you know, there's other religions with other books.
Mm-hmm.
And those books have got great stories of great events that happened in the past. And yet when you go out and look archaeologically, you can't find that any of those events ever happened. And yet, in our scriptures, in the Bible, when we look at archaeology, all of it lines up with what we read in the Bible. We find the actual names of the people mentioned in the Bible. We find the currency that they're using. We find cities that are talked about. We find cities being ransacked. We find all of the accounts in the Bible. We can go and look at the different archaeological evidence and see that it's true. And Curtis, I think about this all the time. Think of what a gift that is. Because think if you were part of another religion and you had to believe something in spite of the facts. Pretend like there was no evidence for what you believed.
It'd be hard. You still had to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be hard. I know some faiths out there, some not faiths out there, some religions out there that people do believe stuff that they've been taught and there's no evidence to back it up.
Exactly. You know, there was a time in our lives where Sandy and I were witnessing to some Mormon missionaries that were coming over.
About to mention the Mormons, but I want to be careful.
Okay. And they came over to our house and we had a great time visiting with these gentlemen, and we would actually have dinner with them every week and just really got to enjoy talking with them. And they would talk about the Book of Mormon. And so a lot of times I would say, well, is there any kind of archaeological evidence for the Book of Mormon? And they said, well, we're sure there is, but we don't know any. And then they told me that the guy who worked at the Mormon bookstore, this was down in San Diego, that he was an expert in archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made a date to meet down at the Mormon bookstore there. And I was going to get to meet this archaeologist, and he was going to share with me all of the evidence that's in harmony with the Book of Mormon. Now, think about this, Curtis. In the Book of Mormon, there are great civilizations that are taking place in South America. There's wars that are taking place. There's all kinds of coinage that's being talked about, all kinds of things that we should find archaeologically. And yet, when we talked to this gentleman, when we finally met down at the Christian bookstore, he had zip. He really didn't have anything. And I began to think about this. How difficult would that be to have to believe in a religion where there's no evidence to back it up? For me, I think we've got something that we take for granted all the time. God just asks us to believe in truth. For me, that's huge.
But if you don't settle for the truth, you'll settle for anything. And unfortunately, there's a lot of talk out there that's not true. It's theory. And not all theory is actually fact. Not all theory is actually true. And a lot of people say, well, that's theory. We've got this to back it up. We've got that to back it up. But I believe there's really no other book besides the Bible that you need. And if you go through that and go through some of the other studies, which I'm sure you've gone through, you'll see that they go hand in hand, that they pretty much line up, where other books don't line up or don't seem to line up, but yet people are believing that, where really I don't think there's any other way to believe but creationism. Would you agree with me, Pat?
Well, exactly. So look, in all areas of our faith, we need to start with God's word, right?
Exactly. We should.
Because it's the only account that's infallible.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the only one that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So in every aspect of life, whether it be science or whether it be history or whether it be philosophy or anything, we've got to start with God's word.
Exactly.
And what's fun about that is once you do that and really just take it as it reads, what you start to find out is that every aspect of life is in harmony with God's word. So, matter of fact, I like to say this, Curtis. There's only one worldview that doesn't break down into inconsistencies. Now, as Christians, a lot of times we play religion, and so we make God's word into inconsistencies in our life. But if you really just take God's word as what it says, it's the only worldview, in my opinion, that doesn't break down in inconsistencies. It's the only one that fits with all of the evidence.
Explain that.
Well, okay. I guess the best way to say that would be, well, I'm trying to think of other worldviews that, okay.
Give us a comparison or explain some things from Scripture, if you will, about what you're trying to say.
Okay, well, I've got kind of a humorous example, and I hope this is okay. But
anything.
Time, one of my creationist friends called the Save the Whale hotline. Okay, and he was talking with them. Now, trust me, I believe that we're supposed to be good stewards of God's mm-hmm. word, and God. I'm sorry, good stewards of God's creation. All mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. we're supposed to take care of God's creation. We're supposed to be good stewards. But he called the Save a Whale hotline, and he basically said, "Guys, are you evolutionists, or do you believe in creation?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we absolutely believe in evolution, not in creation." Mm-hmm. And then he said, "Well, don't you believe in survival of the fittest?" "Well, yeah, we believe that survival of the fittest is true." And he said, "Well, then shouldn't we actually be killing inferior animals so that we can become more superior, that we can be the ones to evolve upward?" And they said, "Oh, no, we have to save this wildlife." Well, you see, they were holding two worldviews inconsistently. And I like to point this out a lot of times, is that most worldviews, when you really push on it, break down into inconsistencies. But I think the scriptures are the only ones that the scripture is the only one where you can go from beginning to end and hold with a consistent worldview.
All right. What else would you got on your heart today that you want to share in regards to creationism? There's a lot of things that I know you want to share, but there's a lot of things that I'm having a hard time asking certain questions. So just feel free to share whatever's on your heart. And
okay. That sounds great. Well, you know, my passion has been creation. So the question is, how important is creation?
Exactly. How important is creation?
That's a great question, Curtis. I've had to think about this a lot of times because I'm passionate about this. Am I passionate about it because it's important, or do I just think it's important because it's my passion?
Yeah, and what is your intake? What is your input on that?
Well, I'd love to take you to Romans chapter 1. And I always call this the great creation passage. I love it. Great scripture. So I thought maybe we could just read through it here.
And, sure.
Maybe
why don't I could you go ahead and do that? We've got about 3 more minutes before we take a break.
Okay, great. Okay, so Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 16. Mm-hmm. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, now here's where we get into it. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what is known of God is manifest in them. So I want to stop for just a second. This is really interesting because when I used to work at the Institute for Creation Research, people would call me all the time and they'd go, "Hey, Pat, give me the silver bullet." Okay, here's how I define this. The silver bullet is the one apologetic that would make their friends fall down on the ground, bawl like babies, and confess Christ as Savior. Okay, so they wanted the silver bullet. They wanted the one evidence that they could share with a non-believer that would turn them into a Christian. But when we read here in Romans, what we find out is that they already know the truth, mm-hmm. but they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Wow, that's amazing. You know what that means, Curtis? Is that never will we give somebody enough scientific evidence, and then all of a sudden they're going to cry like a baby and become a Christian. It doesn't work that way, right? Mm-mm. Because they already know the truth. They're suppressing it in unrighteousness.
You think everybody knows the truth? You think everybody out there...
I think when I read Romans, I think it makes it clear. Matter of fact, let's go on. It's really interesting.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking you, you know.
Yeah. No, great question. Okay, so for God has shown it to them. Okay, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Wow. So that's telling us that by the things that are made, they already know the truth.
I understand that. But I think what I'm trying to ask is, there are people out there that have never really heard the message. They've never really been taught the message. They grew up not really knowing what to believe. And so to say that everybody out there knows, I think everybody out there, if we give them the message the right way, I think their spirits would agree with what we're saying. Would you not agree with what I'm saying?
Okay, so I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So when does somebody become a believer?
Yeah.
It's when God calls their heart, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but let me ask you this, and this question comes up all the time, and I think it through, and then I look at the scripture, and I think it gives us the answer. Is think about these biologists that are working with the human genome, okay? So geneticists, actually, and they're working with the human genome, and they're studying this complex language. Think about working with that every day, this code that is so complicated, and yet they attribute that to random chance processes that created that. But I think when we read in Romans here, what we're saying is that, no, the evidence is very clear by the things mm-hmm. that are made, and so they're without excuse. Mm-hmm. In their heart of hearts, as they're working with that incredible complex code, don't you think if we could peel away the onion shells of their heart and get down to the very center of it, that deep down inside they know that that incredible design comes from a designer, right? They know the truth, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
I think I've got something that I want to ask you when we get back, and I think we're going to take a quick minute break, if you don't mind.
That sounds great.
Listeners, welcome to Christ Today. This is the show weekly that we encourage the Lord, or actually we encourage you in the Lord. We inform you of the great news. We lift up Christ, and as you know, your host, Curtis Smith, and today I have Pat Roy as my guest in the show, but I want to encourage you that if this show has really been a blessing to you, and if you're really enjoying the show, give us a call. Give us some feedback. The number here at the station is 894-7325. And you can call us on Saturdays, which we do air on Saturdays from 11 to 12. And just let us know what you think about the program. Also, if you'd be interested in possibly wanting to know how to sponsor this show, you could do that. Feel free to give me a call. And the number is 894-7325. Or you can call my cell phone number at 332-0826. I hope this show is being an encouragement to you today. And let's get back to the show. All right, Pat, let me ask you a question. If people would stop being mad at God, if they get over this angriness at God, like we saw in the movie God's Not Dead, if they would not have an upsetness at God, or an upsetness at someone that apparently they hear is good, but for some reason something happened, so now they're holding it against him, do you think that a lot more people may not be atheist and may not be evolutionist if they would get over that anger and that hatred that they have towards God because something that they didn't think was fair happened in their life? Do you think that they might be more open to the truth of creationism than they are?
You know, that's a great question. When I lived in San Diego, we went to a bunch of parks and actually did a bunch of surveys and asked a bunch of people. Basically, we were witnessing, but we were also trying to gather information as we were doing that. And I was really interested. It was really interesting to me that a lot of times when I started digging around in people's past, it turned out that they had some kind of owie that had taken place in their life.
A boo-boo.
Exactly. And so listen, I want to tell a story real quick that I think really illustrates this. One time when we were working at the Institute for Creation Research, there's a woman by the name of Eugenie Scott. Maybe people recognize her name. She's a very well-known evolutionist, very much opposed to creation. So we're at ICR working our day, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and somebody says, hey, Eugenie Scott is in town with an atheist conference, and she's headed your way.
Wow.
And we went, whoa, really? So we had half an hour,
mm-hmm.
and what we found out was that this atheist conference was actually coming to our, I think it was called the Skeptics Conference, something like that. Was coming to the Institute for Creation Research. They wanted to go through the museum there. We had a creation museum. And we had 30 minutes, and so a bunch of us got together real quick, and we said, well, what are we going to do about this? Some of the greatest skeptics in the nation are going to come to our museum here. And we decided to start with a presentation. And Dr. Steve Austin is a well-known creation geologist. And so what we decided is we let Dr. Steve Austin, he was going to do a presentation on the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the presentation, then we were going to let them go through the museum. So anyway, when they arrived, when the vans arrived and all of that, we all went out there and greeted them, and they were kind of surprised that we knew that they were coming. And we said, hey, before you go through the museum, we would love for you to come in and have this presentation. And so they all sit down in this little auditorium that we had, and Dr. Steve Austin talked about the catastrophic deposition of layers, how the layers and the Grand Canyon were laid down very rapidly. And then he taught about how the canyon was carved very quickly. In other words, it was a lot of water and a little time instead of what they usually say is a lot of water and a little bit of water over a long period of time, right? So he gave that whole presentation, and I was back there with one of my friends. He was the curator of the museum there, and his name was John. And I said, John, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun to see what happens. Dr. Austin concluded his presentation, and we thought that they were just going to tear him up. So it's now the question and answer, right?
Yeah.
The first guy, if I remember right, was a geologist from UCLA, and he kind of raised his hand and he stood up, and basically, if I remember right, he said, Dr. Austin, I don't have such a problem with that. A lot of us now realize that catastrophism played a large part in the formation of Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sat down, and we were kind of surprised. Well, then the next guy raised his hands, and he said, hey, Dr. Austin, don't you think that homosexuality is an abomination? Well, Dr. Austin was talking about rocks, right? And this guy brought it onto that court, right? He asked that kind of question. So Dr. Austin kind of thought about it for a second, and he gave his answer. Then the next guy raised his hand, and he goes, oh, yeah? Dr. Austin, guess what? My dad was a pastor, and he ran off with the organist. And then this other guy got up, and he talked about, he said, Dr. Austin, my dad left my mom and blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I looked around the room and I said to myself, wow, this is a room filled with some of the greatest skeptics in the world right now.
And I
said, wow, really, these guys, they don't need to hear the scientific evidence for creation. These guys just need a hug. I just felt like we just needed to go up and just hug them and say,
they were full of anger and they needed love.
Right, and so I really began thinking about that, and I began to realize that that was it, is that most of them had a bad... Matter of fact, it was interesting. The Q&A went on for a little while, and most of them brought up things, and none of them brought up anything scientific. It was all about how the church had wronged them, or how they knew a Christian that had wronged them. And it was really interesting to look around at this room of atheists and go, wow, they've all got some bad owies that took place.
Yeah.
And because of that, that grew into bitterness, and then that bitterness turned into being bitterness against God.
Because nobody could explain their boo-boo.
Exactly.
But God knew.
Yeah. So it was really interesting to me. It was just a great illustration of now, you know, I'm not saying that all atheists are that way because of an owie, but I think what I've learned over my life is that a lot of them are atheists because of the owies.
I think a lot of hurting, wounded, angry people are teaching stuff to kids because they don't want the kids to fall under the same pain or same hurt that they did. So they automatically do away with the teaching of creationism, try to give them their own explanation of how the world came about, which we know, Pat, you and I both know, is full of error. But yet, these kids don't know that. Maybe they're questioning whether or not there's a God, and they enter into, because I've heard that most kids, if they don't know there's a God before they enter into college, that's trouble. And I believe that a lot of kids, they've been brought maybe up Christian-wise, but they have never really been taught a lot to do with it. And so they step out into the college arena, they go into college, and all of a sudden they're taught this stuff about there is no God and stuff, and they just accept it as a truth because it is really a cushion for the pain and the hurt that they've experienced. And why accept God when they can now be in control of their own life? Am I not making sense there?
No, that's exactly right. Matter of fact, I told this story a week ago here on this station on another show, but maybe I'll just repeat the story real quick. Just because I think it's kind of a neat story. When I was living in San Diego, I used to go out to the high school campus.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was the border of the campus, I would stand with my little toesies just off the campus. And as kids were coming out of classes, I would get their attention. And I'd go, well, first what I would do is I would go to the store and I'd buy a Time magazine and it had an ape man on the front. Right, you know, those big ugly ape men.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stand at the border of the campus and I would hold up that magazine and I'd go, hey, is this your great-great-granddad? And all of a sudden, I would get a whole group of students. Okay, so lesson number one, they were interested. I mean, instantly, I had a pretty large crowd of students standing around me.
Yeah.
Now, Curtis, I didn't tell them if I was a creationist or an evolutionist. They didn't know which side I was on. So here's one of the first things I would do is I would say, how many of you believe that you evolved? Here's what I taught, Curtis. Couple hands, loud and proud, up in the air. And I went, okay. I said, how many of you believe that you were created? Here's what I saw. Most of them looked down at their feet and shyly raised their hand up. I did that at high school after high school, and you know what? The conclusion I came to is, wow, most high school students believe that they were created with purpose.
I believe that's true.
And only a few of them, loud and proud, believe that they had evolved. Okay, and then I would ask them about purpose, and maybe we could get into that in just a little bit. Now, here's the interesting thing is I would go over to the college, and I would do the same thing. Yo, is this your great-great-granddad? Foo! Bunch of people standing around me.
Wow.
How many of you believe that you evolved? Almost all of them. Hands up, loud and proud.
Wow.
Then I would say, how many of you believe you were created? Now I just saw just a few of them look at their feet and kind of shyly raise their hand. I went, wow, there's a major difference happening between high school and college. So now listen, here's some exciting news about this. When I was at the high schools doing that, the kids that raised their hands to say they were created, those were, a lot of them were not even Christians. They wouldn't call themselves Christians. And yet they believed that they were created with a purpose. And all of a sudden it began to teach me something. I began to think, wow, I've got an incredible opportunity here because I don't have to try and convince them from scratch that they have purpose and that they were created. They already believe that. Now all I have to do is I have to give them the evidence for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give them the evidence for that, now I start to strengthen what they already believe in. They already inherently know, and that goes along with Romans, doesn't it, that we read, is that they already inherently know that there is a purpose and that there is a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've just got to tell them about who the creator is and start giving them evidence for that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's if I go over to the college and try and do that same thing, now I've got to, matter of fact, maybe we can even get into that. It's Acts chapter 17. Now I've got to get into a whole other thing where I've got to go back now and undo it, right? And I've got to say, hey, there is a God, there is a creator, and I've almost got to start back at square one with the college students because they've been educated that there is no God.
I think education does more error than help, especially from people that really don't know what they're educating people on. They take something that sounds true, but just because it sounds true doesn't make it true. And they make it sound so pretty, but just because it sounds pretty doesn't make it pretty. And they make it sound so good, but just because it sounds good doesn't make it good. And yet people accept it without really doing their investigations or their work. They just say, well, it must be true. And if they would do their work and their investigation, they would see that you can't have something evolve with a purpose. I think only if a car is created, it has a purpose. If a house is created, it has a purpose. But has anything ever that has evolved, or if it was evolved, would it have a purpose? I think the only one that can give you the purpose is the one that creates you. Am I not correct?
Yeah, that's exactly true. You know, I once engineered a talk show because I'm actually a radio guy, and I was engineering a talk show once, and there was a debate, and it was between Bill Hoesch, who's a creation geologist, and a guy by the name of Greg Graffin, and Greg is actually the lead singer and lead guitar player for the band Bad Religion.
Okay.
Now, Bad Religion is a band, and they've been around for a long, long time, and Greg actually has a double PhD, I believe. It's in biology, and then I believe by now, I think he's got his PhD in geology. I'm not sure about that, but last time I checked in, he had a master's, I think. Anyway, the amazing thing about Greg Graffin is here he is, this incredible evolutionist, okay, and he's debating Bill Hoesch, and as the two of them are debating, it was kind of similar. Bill was talking about the catastrophic carving of Grand Canyon again, okay, same topic of last story I just shared with you, but Bill was talking about that, and again, Greg said, you know, I don't have such a hard time with catastrophism, but look, here's the problem I have with you creationists, is you guys are running around trying to tell people that they have purpose. And then he kind of gave his story of his life, and basically what he was saying is, Pat, when I was I wasn't saying Pat, but he was talking to Bill, he said, Bill, there was a point in my life where I began to realize that if evolution was true, that there was no purpose in life. There was no reason. There was no reason for any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and then I began to become a little bit despaired, that I had depression, and I began to realize that nothing meant anything, that you could say or do anything.
Wow.
And then he said, then in the middle of that depression, all of a sudden, he became alive and realized that he had a freedom like never before, because really there was no rules, there was no morality, that he could do anything, yeah, that he could say anything. And suddenly he felt free because he could do anything he wanted to. And then he says that he became a missionary of evolution, that,
he realized that he wanted to get the truth out to other kids that there was no meaning, there was no purpose in life.
And what he didn't recognize is that he was wrapped up in Satan's bondage, believing a lie. And I think a lot of people out there, that's what they're doing. They're wrapped up in bondage. Freedom can become a bondage. Just because you're free doesn't mean that you can be free and be living a life of sin and living a life that has no purpose and stuff. And I think the other thing is that you got Christians out there, and they've never really come to understand their purpose either. I mean, I am 40, going to be 43 next Tuesday, Pat. And for a long time in my life, I didn't know what my purpose was. And I think there's a lot of Christians out there that may not, they say, I love Jesus, I have a relationship with Jesus, but they've not come to really understand what God's work through them and with them is. And if they didn't understand that, then they could clearly more identify themselves with, because you've got to have a way to reach people. And I know that I believe for me, finally, the way that I've recognized what God has brought me here to do is radio. And time will tell. I mean, I've been doing the radio since November, and I believe a lot of people out there have been encouraged by some of the shows that I've done or the shows that I've done. And I believe that I'm giving people out there a hope. I'm giving people out there something to inform them, to encourage them so that they can be blessed, so they can say, you know what? There's something about my life. What is it that I can share with people? And that's what people need to hear. And I think those that are teaching evolution or those that are teaching against creation, they just don't understand what their purpose is. They think that they're just here living an existent life or just existing. They've not really experienced life. They're existing. And boom, that's it. But I think when they understand life, which is Jesus Christ himself, they ain't going to help but share the only truth that there is, and that is creationism. Am I not making a point there?
No, that's exactly it. So Curtis, that's huge, right? Because
it is huge.
If we have evolved, that means that we're only here, and then we die, and then we go back to dust.
Yeah.
Right? What's the purpose of that? What's the meaning? You know, sadly, a lot of Christians are living that way. But yeah. Listener, I want you to think about this. When you really, really focus on this, God made you. He had you planned out before the foundations of the world. And he's the one that chose what talents to put in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What your personality was going to be like, what things you were good at.
Mm-hmm.
He packed all of that inside of you, and then he calls you to a mission. And when you think about that, that's incredible.
It is.
Now, some of us maybe feel like we're on a mission. Maybe some of us feel like we're spinning our wheels and we don't quite know what. But listen, God loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And God gave you talents.
Yes, he did.
And he gave you a purpose.
Yes, he did.
So what situation are you in today, listener? Are you a mom that's trying to manage her children? Are you a dad that's out there trying to make a living for your family? Are you a single person who's going to school? It doesn't matter what you're doing, but because God is the one who has you in that situation and has given you the talents and has given you the passions that you have. And Curtis, you know this. There's nothing as awesome as finding out what your talents are and using them for his glory. And that is ultimate purpose. And that, in my opinion, is what separates the creation worldview from the evolutionary worldview.
Well, and the other thing that I believe separates them is the factor that a lot of people want to be in control of their own life. They want to answer to themselves and nobody else. They don't want to be responsible to a God out there that loves them. You know, I mean, how many people try to live this life in isolation? They don't think they need anybody. And that's doing more damage than good. Will you not agree, Pat?
Yeah, exactly it. That is, you are exactly spot on with that. I agree.
You know, God gave us a hope. And the hope isn't in ourselves. It's in him. He says that he is our hope of glory. You know, and if this is all there is, then let me die today. I believe there's a reason why we're here, and I believe it's to reach those out there that may not believe there's a reason why we're here. Maybe they haven't discovered their purpose yet, and I hope they do, because the way I look at it, I know grace is getting a hold of people. I know people are being touched. I know people are hearing, but it just seems like it's just getting darker and harder. But yet the truth is that creationism, I believe, is the answer, because Christ created. And if Christ created, he created you because he loves you. And if he loves you, that's how much he cares. And if he took the time to create this world and he takes the time to love you, why not just accept that? Why try to figure out something that just doesn't make a lick of sense?
Exactly. Great points, Curtis. Exactly it.
So you were talking to me earlier in the show, and there might be a couple other things that you want to touch on, but one of the things that you were talking about was with kids in classes. And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that sounds great. And then, hey, I also want to tell you about a movie that's coming up, too.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that movie, too, before we get out of here. That's right.
Yeah, okay, so...
why don't we talk about that first?
You want to talk about the movie first?
Yeah, let's go a little bit into the movie.
Okay, hey, listener, right now there's a movie showing in Chico at the Chico Cinemark, okay, at the regular movie theater there. There's a movie called A Matter of Faith. And this movie was produced by a gentleman by the name of Rich Cristiano. And he and his brother have put together this movie. And again, it's at the Chico Cinemark right now. Listen, I want to encourage you to go. This movie talks about creation versus evolution. We talked exactly about this, which is students going away to college.
Yeah.
Okay, the story of this movie is exactly that. It's a story about a young woman by the name of Rachel Whitaker. Rachel was raised in a Christian family. Then she goes away to college. And while she's at college, she's a biology major. Hmm. And the biology professor begins to start giving some of the supposed evidence for evolution. And Rachel begins to doubt her faith. Well, her father finds out about that, and her father loves her, and so he gets involved in her education and tries to win Rachel's heart back. Mm-hmm. It's a great story. It's very enchanting. There's a lot of creation apologetics that are thrown into the movie. So listen, if you would like to use it as a witnessing tool, or maybe to just go and be built up in faith on your own, or maybe take a friend with you and use it as a tool to share creation and share Christ with them, boy, I want to encourage you. Right now is an incredible tool. Whenever there's a movie in the movie theater like there is right now, I just think Christians ought to make the most of it.
I think they should too. And more movies are coming out that are Christian-based, and if Christians will get behind them and support them and sponsor them, not sponsor them, but just get behind them and support them and go see them, I think we would have more movies on this topic and this subject. I believe there's another one coming out soon called I Still Believe. But this sounds a lot like a movie that was talked about a couple weeks ago in the studio with Wes Bristow on Chloe's Mountain. Chloe's grandma leaves her an inheritance, and she can either get it now, or she can wait till she's 35 years old. But if she gets it now, she must fulfill what her grandma's plan and purpose is for her, and that's to become a Christian. And Chloe has to discover that on her own. And, you know, I think movies like this really get people, when they see it, to think about, you know, their life. What's the importance, purpose of their life? Why are they here? You know, and I think that the evolutionists and the atheists would love nothing more than people not to see that. Because if they can drain it out and they can get other people to drain it out, hey, they've won the battle. But I think if Christians would see it and understand creation and purpose and to be able to talk to atheists, I think we may be able to win them over to Christ's side, because greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. Would you not agree, Pat?
That's exactly it. So listen, this movie is in the theater right now.
Right now. Six days, 7 days.
Well, it's going to be all the way through Thursday. So you've got till Thursday to see the movie. Listen, if you would like a discount on the evening showings, we've actually got tickets. We don't make a penny on them. It's just a bunch of friends that have gotten together to try and get people to this movie. Here's a phone number you can call to get discount tickets. It's area code 530-828-3156. That's 828-3156. And ask for my friend Harold. And Harold has got some discount tickets for you. Again, the price in the evenings is $9.25 for regular admission. Harold has got tickets for $8.
That's
again,
good.
He's not really making good money on that. Harold did that just to try and get people to come to the theater. So, again, I encourage you to go to the theater sometime in the next few days, watch the movie, take a friend with you, use it as a tool, use it to minister and witness to people.
Okay, now that we've talked about the movie, let's talk about these classes that God's given you a desire to want to teach students about creationism.
Yes, we just talked about how my experience out on the high school campus taught me that younger people naturally believe that they have purpose and that all we've got to do is give them the apologetic. And so listen, I want to do that very same thing. Starting in March, I will be teaching something that I'm calling Creation Worldview classes. I'm going to try and teach them in several different communities here in Chico, also in Paradise, in Oroville. We're going to go to Redding. I'm trying to get a class going in Orland. And so, look, there are several places around Northern California where I'll be teaching these Creation Worldview classes. We are going to go through 16 different topics over 16 weeks. So it's a pretty in-depth class. Now, students can come for 1 month at a time if they would like. We're calling those modules. Each module lasts 1 month. And basically, it's just a weekly class. Here in Chico, they're happening Wednesdays at 3:30. In Paradise, it will be happening Monday mornings. And so, again, I'm just inviting parents to bring their students, to bring their young people to these classes. If you're interested in that, you can visit our website, and that is creationquest.net. It's creationquest.net. I've got a list of the 16 classes that I'll be doing.
16?
16. Can you imagine that? We talk about the age of the earth. We talk about the worldwide flood. We're talking about biology. We even spend two classes where I'll teach evolution and then talk about what's wrong with the evolutionary mechanism.
Now, is this just you, or do you have other people helping you?
It's going to be me basically doing the teaching. I may have some friends that will help me. We're going to use lots of multimedia. We're going to use a lot of video. We're going to also do a lot of hands-on workshops. So again, I think it'll keep the interest of young people. And if somebody makes it all the way through all 16 weeks, they will definitely have a great foundation of understanding both the scientific and the biblical evidence for creation. If they come for just a month, I'm dividing each month, each module up into different themes. The first one is origins. We're going to talk about the origin of life, the origin of the universe. The second module, we're going to be talking about evolution, and we're just going to spend a bunch of time learning about evolution. And then the third month, we'll be talking about the worldwide flood and all of the effects that that would have on the world. And then the last one will be talking about things that have happened since the flood, like the Ice Age. We'll also be talking about how to use creation to witness to your friends. And so it's really a well-rounded course.
So is this pretty much more for high schoolers, or is this pretty much for anybody, everybody? Or?
Well, here's the way I'm putting it. I'm designing this to teach 12 to 18-year-olds, but anyone can come. I've literally had adults say that they want to sign up and just come. So I'm going to have some adults there. I've had kids all the way down to 7 years old that are coming. So what do you do with a class with 7-year-olds to adults? Well, I'm just going to keep it fun. I'm going to keep it very active and just make it enjoyable for
everyone. Where's it going to be in Chico?
We're still looking for a location. But again, if you check out creationquest.net and just look on that list, you can even sign up there. There's a little registration there. I'll keep you informed as soon as we have a location.
Well, before we go off the air, there's some people out there that may be listening, Pat, that don't have a computer. I know my computer's down. I don't have a computer. Is there a number they can personally call you at to get more information?
Excellent question. The phone number is 619-502-7767.
Okay, that's for you listeners that are interested in this program.
Yes, it's 619-502-7767.
So what else is on your heart today to share with us before we... we've still got a few minutes.
Yeah, we started to talk about Acts. Let me turn there real quick. Acts chapter 17. And one of my friends, Ken Ham, uses this verse all the time. I love it. This account in Acts. And basically, a lot of times we as Christians, we try and share Jesus with people, and we try and tell them about what Jesus did on the cross. And that's huge. That's really the center of the gospel. But what we see here in Acts is that Paul is going to a place where they don't even know who God is. And the reason I bring this up is that that's the way it is a lot of times here in America now. We've got to establish who God is, and then we present the gospel. And I just thought this was a neat account. So here we are, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent time in nothing else but to tell or hear something new. Boy, that reminds me of a lot of places and a lot of people I know, doesn't it? Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'"
Yeah.
"Therefore, the one who you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." And now look at what Paul does. Instead of starting with the cross, he starts by establishing which God it is that he's talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Who is their unknown God?
Yeah.
And look at what he says. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands,
no.
Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. He gives life to all, life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And so anyway, Paul starts off with saying, who's the unknown God? It's the true God. He's the God who made all things.
Which you just read something that kind of puts away a myth. There are people out there that believe God is everything, in everything, involved in everything, and a part of everything. And that's not accurate. He's not in everything and of everything and a part of everything. He may have created everything, but it doesn't mean he's everything and in everything. Could you break that down a little bit and talk a little bit about that? Because there's people out there say, well, God's everything. He's in everything. He's love. And, you know, if there's anything here, it's all because of him. Ugh. Break that down. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we know that God created all things, right?
He did.
Right. So what you're referring to is pantheism, right? Where we walk up to the tree and say the tree is God.
Oh, yeah. That's what
God
people say.
God is the tree.
Yeah, he's everything.
And all things are God. We are all God.
He's everything.
Right, exactly. That God is in all things and all things
he's
are God.
He's not everything.
Right. But that's not true, right? Because
no, it's
what
not.
We find out is that there is a God who made all things.
He to the believer, he's everything. But he's not everything. He's not a plant. He's not a tree. He's not the sky. And I hear people say, well, I have my relationship with the good man upstairs. No, he's the God of the universe. I have my relationship with, I go out and I worship the trees. That's my God. You can worship the trees, but that's not your God.
Right. So that's a very pantheistic type of view, right? And that's
so
all
talk
based
a little
on,
bit about that.
But that's all based on evolution, because a lot of evolutionists believe that the world made itself. So you've got materialistic evolutionists who believe that you know, there was a big bang and it was all just physics and everything that finally came together, right? But what a pantheist says is that nature itself is the one who's the creator, that it's thinking through creation. It's the one that's moving and designing animals. It's the one that's designing, and that we as humans are all just part of God. We're just all part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, a lot of times they say that later on we're all going to come together someday. And
I've heard this.
That we'll have this incredible consciousness together as we come together. So that's a very pantheistic idea, and it's based on evolution. And to me, that's very contrary to what the Scripture says. The Scriptures say that God is the creator of all things.
Yes.
And we are under subject to Him. Mm-hmm. We are not God.
No.
We're just His creations who worship God.
Yeah.
That's a much different idea than the pantheistic idea that all things are God and God is in all things.
Yeah, well, you know, God is love, and God does love all of us, but it doesn't mean that God is all of us.
Exactly.
And I hear people all the time saying, well, God's in me, and I'm in Him, and, you know, He's my life, and He is our life. But if you hear people saying, well, you know, you just have to be careful with what people say. Listen to what they say and test the Spirit, because not everybody is preaching the gospel.
Well, and I love that quote that sometimes people say that just makes me laugh all the time is, I know two things. One is, there is a God, and two, you're not it.
Well, you know, an atheist, but never mind, we're not going to go there.
Okay, hey, should I continue on?
Continue on, but before you continue on, let's take another quick break.
Yes,
we
sir.
We still got a few minutes. Okay. Listeners, welcome to KKXX radio station. The show today is called Christ Today. You're listening Saturday from 11 to 12, and in the studio we have great guest by the name of Pat Roy, and he's been talking about creationism and about a movie called Faith That Matters, and he's been talking about just a lot of really good things about creationism and Christianity. And I'm glad that you got the chance to listen to the show today, if you did. And if you have some feedback that you'd love to give me, why don't you feel free to give me a call at 894-7325, 894-7325, and I'd love to hear from you. And I hope you're out there listening. Also, too, we may mention that there's a movie that is going to be being played February the 6th through the 12th called Faith That Matters. And feel free to go and watch that movie. I believe you'll really be touched by watching that movie. All right, Pat, let's get back to you.
Great. Yes, so what you were saying about the movie, it's in theaters right now. So Christians,
starting today.
Yeah, please go out there and watch the movie. Let's support Christian movies out there, and let's use it for a tool. So again, that's A Matter of Faith, and it's playing 5 times a day just at the Chico Cinemark. And so I want to encourage you to get down there and actually watch the movie, and if you like it, boy, make sure to invite friends too. That would be excellent. So Curtis, hey, the one point we were making here is we were reading about Paul going to the Areopagus and talking to them is, First, he established that there was a God, that their unknown God was the God, the creator of all things. And then after he does that, in verse 29 of chapter 17, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, Christ, right?
That's true.
He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So listen, Paul starts first by establishing who God is.
Who God is.
He's the creator of all things.
Of all things.
He created you.
Created me, I hope.
Exactly.
I know he did. Yeah.
And then once he establishes that, then he gets into the message of Christ and the cross.
Yeah, and that's what comes next, is Christ and the cross.
Exactly, and I think we're at the same spot in our society today. If I go down to the college and I say, believe in God, you know, sometimes the kids mockingly will say, who's God? Right? There's even bumper stickers that
it's
say
just because
that.
They don't understand. They haven't been taught the truth. They haven't been taught correctly. Nobody's taken the time to really explain to them what really happened. I personally believe that. And if they really would take the time to really look at things, they might go, you know what? There's a point. And I believe that God is graceful enough that he's expanded a little bit more time so more people can be reached with this gospel. And I believe that people, we have a purpose, and that purpose is to share this gospel with others, that they might come to know the truth of who Christ is.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So listen, I think just like Paul, a lot of times we've got to go back and establish which God. It's the God of the universe. It's the God who made all things, and then the God who made you, the God who loves you, the God who gave you purpose, that's the God. And now we get into the gospel message.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pat, we're about to run out of time here. So is there any last minute thing you want to say before we run out?
Well, again, I guess just a reminder, if you would like your kids to be in the Creation Worldview classes, please go to creationquest.net. Also, with A Matter of Faith, you can actually go online, Curtis, and watch the trailer. The website is amatteroffaithmovie.com. So you can go on the internet there, watch the trailer. And then, again, I just want to encourage listeners to get down to the movie theater. You know, it would be a shame if here's that movie, and it comes to town, nobody goes to it, nobody's reached, nobody's ministered to. But listen, we've got a moment in time here. We can use that to minister to people.
And, you know, I'm going to say something else. If you're a person out there and says, well, I just don't really like going to movies, or I don't believe Christians should go to the movie theater, get rid of that concept. Get rid of it now and go watch the movie. The movie may come out it may come out on video, it may not, but it's at the theater. Go see it and invite somebody, tell somebody, let somebody know, because you don't know who you might be reaching that might, and you might tell somebody that may tell somebody that may tell somebody, and it may be that person that goes to that movie and their life gets changed because of that. So if you can't go or you don't want to go, look at maybe getting somebody a ticket, or look at maybe getting somebody there that you know needs to hear the gospel. Get them to this movie. I really encourage you to do that. And I'm sure my guest, Pat, agrees with me on that.
Well, yeah, 100%, of course. Hey, look, I've got a phone number if you would like to get discount tickets for
discount
the evening
tickets,
showing.
Not free tickets, but discounts.
Yeah, that's right. It's and again, we're not making any money on this whatsoever. It's been a team of us that have brought this to the theater, just a team of friends. We're not with any organization or anything.
Team of friends.
But my friend Harold has got discount tickets. If you want to call him, the phone number is 530-828-3156. That's 828-3156, and that will be discount tickets for the evening showings.
Discount tickets for the evening show. So if all you can do is go to the evening show, go to the evening show, but go see the movie. Well, Pat, thanks for coming on the air. And before we end this program, I'm going to ask you to pray out.
That sounds great. Father, I thank you so much for Curtis. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to use radio to reach so many people. And Father, I just thank you that you have created us with purpose. God, I thank you that we're not just molecules that came about by random chance processes, but you give us meaning. Father, I just thank you for that. God, I thank you for the movie that's down at the movie theater right now. God, I just pray that many Christians would be taking advantage of that, and that they would be using that
yes.
to minister to friends. God, I just thank you so much that you exist and that we can trust your word, and that you told us how you created the world and we can just believe you. Father, thank you that you've given us a faith where we don't have to believe things that are untrue, but you've just called us to believe in truth. God, I just praise you for that, and thank you for being so good to us. And Father, I just pray for our listeners right now. I pray that you would be with them in their lives today as they're all facing different challenges, that you would be there with them. And Father, I pray for my brother Curtis here, that you would continue to use him in powerful ways on the radio here. We just pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Well, listeners, feel free to listen next Saturday from 11 to 12. My guest will be very informative and encouraging. She's a believer. Her name is Jan Brooks. And she'll be coming in and talking about how to improve your life and change your life with better living, better eating, and so on and so forth. So next week we'll be talking with her. So have a great week and God bless.